Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
That's right. Happy Wednesday, 8 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Quick shout out to my buddy Tyler. He says he needs a shout out for Madeline Asher and the Lee Summit Lady Royals. They won an extra innings last night. They play for the championship game tonight, led by Coach Aaron Emery, a.k.a. the Lakewood legend. Go win the title tonight, Mr. Asher, and your team and your lady Lee Summit Royals. Congrats on that. But we asked the poll question.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Earlier today, I can't believe it's already been an hour since we revisited it, but we asked you, the fans, 913-586-7965. You can go to our X page. It's the fan 965. We asked, who do you want to see hit third in this Royals lineup? Because yesterday, a lot of people said they want to see Bobby move down to third, Michael Garcia go to the second spot. Bob had mentioned he had seen Mark DeRosa on MLB Network. They put Caglione at third. So we asked Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, Jack Caglione, who should hit third for the Royals lineup. 254 votes later, 44.9% running away with Michael Garcia as the guy hitting third. So still have 2 more hours to give us your results on that. But who do you want to see hit third in this Royals lineup? Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, or Jack Caglione? Be interesting to see if Cags. By the way, he got a new haircut last night.
Oh, we're at that point of the season. Well, I mean, they came home and, you know, the barber's here and you get the haircut.
It's also 117 degrees and having that thick Italian mullet's going to be a little bit hot in this game. Yeah. I mean, I know he's Florida kid, but still.
It doesn't matter. It's here.
It's already, what, 88 degrees outside?
It's nuts. I mean, it's not as humid, obviously, as Florida and muggy, but still, it's nasty out there right now. So you want to have a short haircut.
So Jay Billis, right? Pretty intelligent guy. I think he's a lawyer. I think he has his law degree.
Yeah, he's a lawyer, yeah.
He says, I don't feel badly saying that the NBA is a better basketball product than college.
Yeah, he's right about that. He's absolutely 100% right about that. And that's been an old debate, at least in these parts, for decades since, you know, I was in college. You know, college basketball is better than the NBA.
They play defense in college.
Yeah, which
don't hit shots at a better rate.
They can't shoot in college. And that's exactly what Jay Billis said. He said, basically, nobody in college basketball can hit a shot. And I've been telling you guys that forever now. Like, watching college basketball is brutal. There's zero basketball IQ, and nobody's that good. But yet, everybody takes three-point shots. The difference is in the NBA, everybody takes three-point shots, and pretty much everybody hits their shots in the NBA. Like, if you're sitting there watching these games side-by-side, and you think college is a better basketball product than the NBA, then you're blind because it's not on any level a better product. Is there pageantry in college that you don't have in the pros? Sure. Is there fun and chants and celebrations and cool arenas and things like that in college? Yes. Is the tournament fun? You bet, but that's not college basketball. But if you're talking brand for brand, game for game, pound for pound, there is no debating that the NBA is a much better, by far, product than what college basketball can roll out there. And coming from Jay Billis, who's the second biggest cheerleader for college basketball behind Dick Vitale, that's saying a lot. And it should mean a lot more to a lot of people. And college basketball should kind of figure out ways to make its game better. Yet they're adding challenges in, which are just going to prolong the college basketball game. Now, we should get an expanded tournament coming up here pretty quick, but that doesn't make the product any better that we're rolling out there. I just think the product, the actual game playing of college basketball is at an all-time low, and we're watching a draft tonight. Everybody knows Cooper Flagg's going number one. You know, two kids from Rutgers may get drafted. Name their names and anybody else in college basketball at this point in time. And Jay Billis nailed it, man. I agree with everything Jay Billis said about college basketball versus the NBA.
And I really enjoyed how he talked about kind of announcing the NBA and how he noticed a different rhythm with the pace of play. And he was also like, it's more conversational when I'm commentating an NBA game. It's me and Doris Burke and Mike Breen having a conversation about basketball. And then he talks about in college, every play we have to dissect it on the TV. And he's saying, I don't know if the viewers want that. And Jay Billis is saying, I don't even know if I want that. And if Jay Billis, basketball guru, isn't wanting to dissect every play, I'm sure as hell not wanting to listen to that.
Yeah, and that's the difference between, you know, what ESPN and TNT have become when it comes to basketball, which is why we love the TNT product, because it's a more relaxed product. It's more inviting. It's more welcoming for me, the very casual basketball fan. I feel like I'm invited to the conversation when I listen to Shaq and Charles and those guys, you know, talk about the NBA. When I listened to the ESPN side of thing, I was like, oh, they're yelling at each other, and it's not for me. It's not my taste. I don't need the breakdown, you know? Yeah, exactly. Like, everybody's screaming at each other, and they're talking about, like, stats. I don't need any of that. Invite me into your home. I think more broadcasts should be like that, like baseball. I've been saying for years, baseball on the radio and even baseball on TV truly needs to be a talk show, and then there's a game going on in the background because that's more entertaining. Nobody needs to live and die on the 3-2 pitch in the first inning and stuff like that. It should be more conversational. It should be more about the bigger topics and things that are going on than overanalyzing every single play of the game.
The NBA draft tonight, as Cooper Flagg will be announced number one overall to the Dallas Mavericks, where Kyrie Irving had said yesterday, I'm out. I'm not going to pick up my option, right? Or is he staying? I can't remember.
He signed an extension, I believe.
Oh, he signed? Okay, I thought he opted out of his
$119 million, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I thought so he said he opted out of his team option.
Well, maybe he opted out of what he should have had, and then they signed him to a new type of contract. Yeah. You know, happens.
I mean, because you're the basketball super fan here of the show. I'm a fan. I'm not a super fan. Like, I don't have NBA courtside TV or whatever it is, NBA Central, whatever you have it. And have you been entertained more in the last 4 days of the NBA offseason, or were you more entertained in the NBA finals?
Oh, it's got to be the offseason. Because
you've got going nuts, so you're a little biased there. Right, because they're dropping their tax. They're trying to get in the tier two. They're trying to get rid of people. Jaylen
New
Brown
ownership's
might,
fun, isn't it?
Jaylen Brown might be. Well, they also lost their superstar for a year. Yeah. Why try to be competitive and just go get a good pick
Smart
next year?
Smart move, yep.
Kevin Durant news. And now we have the NBA draft tonight. I think that's why.
And the Knicks still don't have a coach.
And I think that's why the NBA, it was an entertaining series in the finals, whether you want to admit it or not, between two small market teams, it was entertaining.
Oh,
it went to game seven. It was the most viewed game since 2016.
Yeah, I think so.
For the NBA.
Yeah.
And then we just get to skip right over to guys being like, I'm out. I want to play somewhere different. All of a sudden, this guy goes here. The movement is there. College basketball.
Even Tawana Bonner says she wants out of Indiana now. It's not a good fit for her. So the WNBA is making news.
I did see the Pardon My Take guys had a really good take. They said the Indiana Pacers should try to draft Caitlin Clark late in the second round. Just announce it. They're so funny sometimes.
That's awesome.
But no, I think the thing that's interesting about college basketball is that we don't have, like, Chuck and Shaq and Kenny, I probably take more credible than Stephen A. Smith, because obviously these guys played it. They're legends of the game. They're more, I guess, more intelligent when it comes to their takes about the game. They do criticize it, but not to a point where it's terrible, it's wrong, it's bad, and if they did, it'd be okay because of the clout that they carry.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jay Billis, who is about to be the voice of college basketball, with Dick Vitale slowly but surely, like, phasing out of his role. Obviously going to come back and do it this year, but not to the extent that he had been before. And you'd mentioned Vitale and Billis are basically the mouthpieces of college basketball.
They are,
and when your mouthpiece is out here every single college basketball Saturday saying these games take too long, they're behind, and he's an educated individual, right? Played on those Krzyzewski teams in the 90s at Duke, so he's got that sort of when college basketball was there.
Yeah.
I mean, oh God, I still remember, like, when, again, my dad, huge KU fan, when KU was getting ready to play, it was like, we got to be home, we got to be here, and we got to be on the couch. It's going to be Jock Vaughn and these guys, it's the best team I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it was more than just that. It was watching the Big Eight, watching Mizzou. It was huge. And Billis was a part of that. And Bills has gotten older and maybe a little bit more crankier, but he's hip. He understands the game. They still go to him on the major shows. Scott Van Pelt still brings him in all the time. He used to do the coaches that would walk the court. He is the mouthpiece of the sport. And he's telling you, as an individual that knows this educationally wise, your sport is dead and dying and gross and just, it's a mess. Mm-hmm. And you're not listening.
Right.
All you care about is extending more teams in the playoff field so you can get more money. But it doesn't make the sport better.
Right.
And you're playing two halves. The games are too long. They're taking too long on reviews.
The final 2 minutes are a half hour, and that's brutal for anybody.
And not only that, but you have the G League.
Yeah.
You have players be like, I'm not doing that. Now, NIL will help this.
Sure.
Right? Like, two of the top three picks in the draft tonight will come from Rutgers, so nobody knows who they are. Unless you're a diehard basketball fan that's followed the draft, Rutgers went 15 and 17, but these kids played in college for a couple years or a year to make money in NIL. Right. But again, the sport is at a point where it's just like, you watch it, you want to tell yourself it's a great game, but you've got to tell yourself that the only way you're doing that is when it comes to conference tournaments and the tournament.
Well, and that's why I always say college basketball and the tournament are completely different. It's baseball and football to me. It's a completely different beast. The tournament's great. It's fun, right? Everybody loves that. The rest of college basketball can go kick rocks. It's just not a very entertaining product and really hasn't been. And you know, I woke up during COVID and realized I'm not missing college basketball. When we got rid of the tournament, I'm like, that's fine by me. I'm not missing it. And I realized that then it's not aesthetically pleasing. It's not an easy sport to watch. And, you know, Dusty, you make a really good point when you say they're not listening. And I can't help but think about baseball and how they did listen to the fans. They sped up the game. They gave you the ghost runner in extra innings.
Yep.
They limit the amount of time you can throw over to pitch to first base. You've got the pitch clock in there. And games now in Major League Baseball are about 30 minutes less than an average NFL
game.
Because
they listen.
That's right. They listen, right? Like, even the NFL listens, right? People complained about overtime for the fans. I never was an overtime complainer. I hate the rule being changed. But most fans wanted a change. They listened to their fans.
And they're not going to do everything that we want, but no. At least they, like the tush push, right? I don't know if that was fans. Maybe some. A lot of coaches, they listened. It failed. It's not happening. Overtime rules, they listened once. They're like, no. And then it happened again. They're like, you know what? Maybe they're onto something. Let's try it and see if we can cause a little chaos. And guess what? Chaos sells, man.
It does.
It ever.
It does. So. And so listen to your fans and give them what they want. And I think college basketball fans are kind of to that point now where we're like, we're done with 2 20-minute halves. We're done with the final 2 minutes taking 30 to 45 minutes in real time. We're done with the amount of reviews that happen on. And that's the other thing. In college basketball, I mean, it's Loyola versus Belmont on a Tuesday in February, and we're reviewing every last possession of a game that is irrelevant. Like, why? Why do we need to continue to do that? And then, and it's not just about that. It's about the low basketball IQ out there. These kids that are playing today do not understand the game, and they're just hoisting 3-point shot after 3-point shot after 3-point shot, and they're missing 95% of these things.
We need more fundamentals off the glass.
Hey, seriously, it works. It scores points and wins games.
We need more mid-range jumpers. We need shorter shorts.
Yeah.
At least 2 years in college basketball. You should be able to come out straight out of high school. If you go to college, you have to spend 2 years there.
And that would help as well. But the NIL is just going to make things even more murky. And you're never going to have those teams that people want, right? You're never going to have that anymore. You're never going to have the Jock Vaughn-led teams, right?
I think 2 years would help.
I like the idea of the contract with NIL, though.
I do, too.
I like I like that rumor getting kicked around. Hey, you want this NIL deal for $4.5 million? All right, you need to stay here for 2 years. You leave, you lose the deal after a year.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, no, I think it's really good. You should have buyouts as well if another university wants you. I mean, let's make this whole thing full pro on. Let's go. I mean, let's do it.
Mac, are your plums burning? Are you ready to ask that burning question because we're 73 days away? Plus, we look at some other divisional odds here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I know that I'm hard.
And you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Dog days of summer. You got a lot of action today. You have NBA draft tonight. Michael Wacha on the slab tonight. You know I'm there. I'm locked in, man. That's my quarterback. That's how I feel like right now watching the Royals, like T.O. with the sunglasses on, crying in the postgame. Why do you do it to yourself, Dusty? You should all do it. Watch the game. That way you can have an educational take on it. This team can't hit. Okay, but why can't they hit?
Well, nobody knows the answer to that one.
Well, swing and miss rate's not great. But also, there's a little bit of action today in the baseball world, which if you want to follow this parlay, you're more than welcome to via DraftKings. It is Mizorowski versus Paul Skeens today.
Hell of a matchup. Let's go.
I mean, literally, if you have 2 hours to kill, right here.
And it may not be like the Royals game last night was over in about two hours.
Yeah.
Well, when you don't hit, it's easy to get outs.
Right. Mizorowski, Paul Skeens, 110 in Milwaukee. The parlay I'm taking is under 7 runs. Paul Skeens to record 8 or more strikeouts. And Jacob Mizorowski to record 6 or more. That is plus 455.
It's amazing how these young pitchers are coming up to the big league level, and they're really dominating right now. Like, all the young pitchers, obviously pitching is always ahead of hitting and whatnot, but the young pitching right now is dominating. Some of the young bats, like we're looking at with Cags right now, and some of these other guys aren't, you know, to that level. But these young pitchers, man, this Mizorowski guy, he's from the area, like local kid, but 2 weeks ago, you didn't know who this guy was. I don't want to hear from the text line, I followed McGrain Valley or something. I don't care. Nobody knew who this guy was. And now he's taken the big leagues by storm, and it's been the featured matchup that they've been pushing in Major League Baseball probably since the weekend. I think I saw it last Friday that they were promoting like this game.
We talked about it, yeah. Before we left the air, I was like, ooh, next Wednesday is the MLB Network.
It was a week ago. Like, so they've been promoting this game for a week. I mean, it's almost like Mahomes Allen type of stuff. Mahomes Burrow, or maybe a little bit lower than that. Maybe it's Lamar and Burrow or something like that. But this is being viewed as one of the big marquee matchups that you're going to see, not just today in baseball, but maybe in the next couple of weeks in Major League Baseball. And so if you're into it, I know it's a 1 o'clock game and everybody's at work and doing their thing, but that's kind of one to keep an eye on. Those are two superstars of the game. And I think baseball really is doing a better job of marketing. I don't know if you're on this email list that I'm on, but every day I get an email from MLB now that just started in the last month or so of everything that's coming up that day. Here are the big matchups coming up. Here are the players that are going to be participating. Here's some of the things they're going for. Here are some of the big games that we're looking at. Here are some of the play. Like,
they'll give you milestones too.
Yeah, they're giving you all kinds of stuff. Like, MLB is really doing a good job of now doing, again, they listen, doing everything we said they didn't do. They're doing a great job of it because people in Kansas City are talking about this pitching matchup today because it's so big.
Yeah, it'll be a battle of who can throw it, you know, harder and more consistent. And then Pittsburgh doesn't score runs. I can't imagine Milwaukee scoring a whole lot of runs. I mean, I could literally see this game being 2-0 and over an hour and 48 minutes. That's just the way these guys pitch. I mean, they're quick, they're efficient, they throw it 102 miles per hour. I do have a buddy named Nick who is really involved with like youth baseball, played high school, college, all that sort of stuff. And he did say that, like, you know, to the people that say, oh, Kansas City missed out on Mizorowski, he said it wasn't until, like, his junior year of, like, you know, junior ball, you know, JUCO ball, that he started to learn how to throw a fastball and be more efficient. So it's not like this guy has been a prodigy since he was 9 years old, because I went to high school with a kid named Nick Tepish, who was amazing. He was he ended up being a pro baseball player, played for Texas, won a state title his senior year, threw, like, 84, like 83 as a freshman, as a sophomore, junior year, tall as you know what, throwing 93.
Yeah.
Senior year, ride his coattails all the way to state, throwing 93, 94, goes to Mizzou, gets drafted out of Mizzou, goes to Texas, has a career in MLB. But I mean, again, like, not everybody develops as like a 7 year old. So like sometimes these guys go to JUCO and they become a junior, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's okay. Now I've got it figured out. You think about Brady Singer, couldn't throw a changeup. Finally figured out how to throw a changeup, had his best year of his career, trade away this year to the Reds, and now hopefully he stays successful in the MLB.
Everybody develops at their own rate, too. And I hate when people say
they missed.
Yeah, they missed. That's ridiculous. Yeah, we're still. You know what? They drafted the guy that everybody wanted him to draft in Bubba Starling, and how did that turn out for them?
Yeah.
You know, so they went with the local guy because of all of the stuff that people say. They were hoping Bubba wasn't there. They had no choice but to draft Bubba Starling, and he was a total bust. And there's just no other way to put it. From a baseball standpoint, he didn't get the job job done. I hate the fact, oh, we got to draft the local kid or they should be on the local kid. Now, everybody has scouts everywhere all over the country. Everybody sees these players. Certain scouts are able to form different relationships with players. And then if you have a good relationship with the scout, you know, sometimes you win the tie because the scout has a good relationship with the family or however, you know, this stuff works out. Just because a kid plays in your backyard, should the Dallas Cowboys be criticized for not having Patrick Mahomes on their roster? Like, we don't hear that in football. Oh, they should have had this guy. He's a local kid. A lot of local kids in a lot of local areas that don't get drafted by their hometown teams, and that's okay because there may be somebody better out there. So I just hate when people say, oh, the Royals missed out on this guy or that guy because he's in their own backyard. Yeah, did they? Where was this kid drafted? How many teams passed on him? How many times, you know?
Right. So yeah, that game will be on, I believe, MLB Network today. Should be a fun one to watch with Paul Skeens versus Mizorowski. Who are you rooting for?
Skeens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a Skeens guy. Yeah, absolutely. Always will be. Yep. Same. Yeah. I mean, I've been liking him for the last couple of years.
Nice, so I'm not going to change. Guys, come on.
That's all right. I don't care. I'm rooting for the guy that I've been rooting for a while. Yeah. You know, I'm been on the Paul Skeens train for a couple of years now. And so I'm going to continue on that train. I think he's good for baseball. I love him.
Yeah, he sucks. He's in Pittsburgh. But he does have the superstar, girlfriend.
Yeah,
has he? When you think he proposes?
It's been a minute.
Who proposes first, Skeens or Kelsey?
Kelsey, I would say.
You think?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, they're older. You know, Skeens is kind of, he hasn't signed the big contract yet, all that kind of stuff.
And Kelsey may already have him.
Well, I mean, you saw that wedding invitation, right? That said the Taylor and Travis Kelsey. So, like, people are like, did they already get together behind, you know, are they doing an Aaron Rodgers type thing, right? Where they're telling people they're not married, but maybe they are. Where Aaron Rodgers is telling people he's married and nobody can find a marriage certificate for that.
I'm also, like, torn with that. Because I understand, like, privacy and who he is, and I understand, like, maybe you don't want your wife or whatever in the limelight, right? But also, the other side of it is, like, I would not be shocked if he's like, yeah, my marriage is spiritual. I'd be like, oh.
Oh, like he's married to the universe?
Or something like that. I'm not trying to be a smartass.
No, really, I know you're not. No.
Like, I'm really seeing, I've been on this with you guys for a while. I'm like, are we sure he's married? And this was 3 weeks ago. And then everyone thinks that we're just the only people that hate on Aaron Rodgers. Then all of a sudden the stories start to come out, like TMZ and, you know, ESPN, like all these other things. It's like, we haven't seen his wife and yet there's no document they've been married. His family's right. It's like, so maybe I'm not crazy. I mean, I am, but like, maybe I'm not full crazy.
Yeah. I didn't say I married a person. I said I married a tree or,
you know, I don't know. And I mean, you know,
like, you could see Aaron Rodgers being that type of guy, being the narcissist that he is, telling everybody, well, I never said I was married to a person. I'm married to the spiritual being of the world.
Yeah, man. I've been immunized. So yeah, it's all good.
I'm in love with the clouds.
Yeah. Like, he could be, like, if he really wanted to, not
I married
the same level.
Smashburger last night.
But he could be the next, like, Bill Walton type of guy if he really wanted to. You know, go out there and talk about how you're married to the universe and you don't wear shoes.
Nah, because Bill Walton did, the cool drugs.
Yeah, Bill Walton exactly. was awesome, too. People like Bill Walton. Yeah. Like, nobody likes Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, nobody likes Aaron Rodgers. Not even, you know, his own teammates. I mean, like, see you later. Goodbye. I mean, how does Nate Hackett feel about Aaron Rodgers at this point?
He can't even hack it anymore.
That guy doesn't have a job.
Yeah, well, he got hatchet. How many days are we away from the first real NFL football game of the year? 73?
73 days till the first real football game of the year. The Chiefs will go to Sao Paulo, Brazil, and take on the Chargers.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
In 73 days.
Had arms.
So with that, I bring to you, we were talking earlier about division odds, Super Bowls. It's that time of the year, right? Time to get your future bets in, look at some division odds. Okay, this team's favored for the AFC. Oh, this team's going to lose in the divisional round. Worst to first, all those sorts of things, right? So I ask you, how do you feel about the division odds of the AFC West, which for the first time in probably in the last 10 years are pretty dang close? The Chiefs sit, trying to get to right in front of me, at plus 120, I believe. This is on, I'm just using FanDuel, minus 115, plus 310 for the Chargers, plus 340 for the Broncos.
What are the Raiders?
Plus 1,200, which I think is, I mean, it's really good odds.
That
I wouldn't
seems
bet
rude.
On it. But yeah, I would bet on that.
Plus 1,200?
Yeah.
That's a really
Steelers
good value.
To win the North, are they that much better than the Chargers or the Raiders to win the West?
I bet the Steelers like plus 800 probably.
Plus 500.
Oh, okay.
The Browns, the Browns and the Jets are the worst division odds in the league, plus 1,600 and plus 3,200. But the next is the Raiders at plus 1,200. Yeah. Or no, excuse me, the Giants. Sorry, your Giants,
okay,
Bob.
The Giants, yeah. Well, I think the Raiders at plus 1,200, they would have to overcome three teams to win that division, right? I think the second best team in the division is Denver for me right now. They would only have to overcome one team to win the division. Then the Chargers, probably the second best team behind Denver, the third best team, they have to overcome two teams. So I understand where I think the odds are very fair. And I think the odds right now are showing you that they want to get some people betting on some of these other teams to win the division. Like, Vegas isn't stupid. They're very smart. They know how people react. And right now, because I saw it already, the Charger love is starting to trickle out. The Bronco love is trickling out. People are stupid generally, right? And they think like, oh, Denver won some games last year, made the playoffs. The Chargers, well, they got this guy in pleated khakis who may be married to Aaron Rodgers. Who knows? They're both weird like that, right? And so you've got those two teams that people seemingly blindly follow, and they will put their money on there, and Las Vegas will build extra casinos because people are stupid. So I think the odds are very fair for that. What the hell was that?
Yeah, I mean,
that guy's an idiot.
I think that the best part about it is that we talked about earlier today is that you have to eventually figure out when that year happens, right? Like, for instance, if you could gamble back in the 90s on the Braves, they won 14 consecutive AL East titles. Eventually it had to end. So for years, you know, like, eventually the Royals will not lose at home. Is it today that you bet the Royals on the money line? Maybe not. Is it tomorrow that you bet the money line? Maybe. But eventually it ends. Like, eventually that has to stop.
Your math just says it will.
I just don't think that's now. I do think that's a little unfair for the Raiders, though, at plus 1,200.
I agree.
I think they're a little bit better than people give them credit for. I think Geno's better. I think Brock Bowers in year two could be dangerous. They have Ashton Jeanty, who I think his projected total in rushing yards this year is like 1,150, which I think is low. Hello, Dynasty pick one, Ashton Jeanty, or maybe you go take that kid out of North Carolina that Jim Harbaugh now has, who will run 30 times a game in the Chargers organization. But look, somebody's got to be the Chiefs. I just don't know if that year's this year. The Chiefs wide receiver room is good. Their defense is still led by Spagnuolo, Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie, all of those guys, the original aristocrats on that defense. And you got to think there's more to it than just get the revenge of the Super Bowl. There's more like the last dance sort of feel with Travis Kelce, Mahomes with the new haircut and the scorched earth mentality. I don't have any issue with the odds. I think if you were going to take a team, though, I think it's Denver. I really do think it's Denver. I think their defense is what can help them, because somebody had a thing earlier that said Brock Osweiler took the Broncos to the Super Bowl. It's not true. That defense took Denver to the Super Bowl, obviously, because I believe Von Miller was the MVP of that Super Bowl, who absolutely wrecked that game from snap one. So,
and they had a guy on the other end who was on the all-quarter century team in DeMarcus Ware. So it's pretty decent
defense.
Pretty
solid defense there, led by two solid dudes. Von Miller in his prime, Ware on his outside of his prime. Yep. But I'm not mad about the odds. Look, it just shows you how tough this division is going to be and how this might be one of the better years that the Chiefs could win their division. You go 14-3 this year in this division.
I guess I don't remember. I know betting is fairly new legally, but I don't remember every year going in and trying to find a reason why the Patriots weren't going to win the East. Now, I know their competition was never all that great in the East, but the Chiefs' competition hasn't been all that good in the West until this year, really. And for years prior, everybody was picking the Chargers or somebody else to win the division because they wanted it to be different. I don't recall this situation happening every single year where we found, created, and invented ways why the Patriots couldn't win the AFC East, like we're inventing, creating, and making up ways why the Chiefs can't win the West continually with the best quarterback and the best head coach in football and the best combination that we probably ever did see.
From the 816, Denver is the most overhyped team in the AFC. That's false.
Denver is one of those teams, though, that could have that fall, you know, but their coach is good. I'll give them that. Their coach is really good, but they could have that fall, because whenever you go into a season and everybody's white hot about a team, it's usually the team that takes the step back.
I think the team's overhyped the most is the Houston Texans. Let's just get rid of our best left tackle and let this third-year quarterback go out there and do it.
The problem with that is they have nobody to compete with in their division right now.
Yeah, they're, I mean, dude.
Daniel
they're
Jones.
They're plus 110 in the AFC South.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's sad. I know they've made the playoffs twice. They've won that division, but
that's why they're overhyped. They don't play anybody.
You start separating yourself.
And they get in the playoffs, and it's like, oh, welcome to the league, boys.
But that's what Houston's been doing every year since they've been in existence. Win a bad division, play at 3 o'clock on Saturday, lose, and then go home.
Yeah, but they're going to have to find that shift.
They did win a playoff game last year, though, right? If I'm not mistaken, they ended up coming here to Kansas City.
Years in a row, they've won a playoff game.
Yeah.
So you do have to give them that.
And they've lost to the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yep.
So I guess fair and unfair, but if you're going to eventually get over that hype train, you got to beat somebody that's at the top. Buffalo's there, too.
Yeah.
Yep. And trading your all-pro left tackle, to your point, is not necessarily the way that I'd go about doing that.
That was an NBA type of trade.
Very weird.
I mean, it was a strange trade. You know, you got a young quarterback, keep your left tackle intact, who's one of the best in the game.
No gas mask.
None.
Coaching tiers via ML football. Top three, McVay, Andy Reid, Sirianni. Second tier, Sean Payton, Kevin O'Connell, Jim Harbaugh. Who's that guy in the middle with
Shanahan?
I did not know his ears were like that. And then, Matt LaFleur. Shanahan, my word, they couldn't have done you better than that.
Picture of Sean Payton's a little rough, too.
Is Dan Campbell? Sean Payton looks like he's running for office in Tennessee. We will blitz the competition, and we will eventually take over the country, I promise. Kevin O'Connell going ahead of Dan Campbell, huh? You okay with that? That's the only thing I thought it was a little bit. I think they should both be in the same room. That's where I'm at on this list. I agree with the top three. I mean, those are, your last three Super Bowl winners?
Yep.
I mean, yeah. So, you're in a room by yourself. You got a trophy, and you're with the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid and Sirianni and McVay. That's a room I'd stay in. Now, I think Dan Campbell should be up a little bit higher. Dan Quinn being already there, a little strong for me. Had one good year in Washington. Can he keep doing it? But to put him in the playoff contenders, I think is fine. But I think Dan Campbell's elite. If Kevin O'Connell's elite, am I wrong on that?
Semi-Pro Football Out of Focus did their rankings as well. And they have Dan Campbell 9 and Kevin Stefanski 10 on that list. Their number one is obviously Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton they have as the number two best coach in the NFL.
Sean Payton?
Yep.
That guy's an idiot.
They have Sean McVay number 3, mm-hmm. Harbaugh 4,
which
John.
One? Okay.
Tomlin 5, Jim 6, Shanahan 7, Sirianni 8, Dan Campbell 9, Kevin Stefanski 10. The Kevin Stefanski one is just...
Two-time coach of the year, man. More than Andy Reid.
interesting year for Dan Campbell. This is a prove-it year for Dan Campbell.
Big
it's
year.
A big year for Dan Campbell. I think maybe a bigger year as a head coach for him than maybe anybody else in the NFL because you lost both your coordinators.
Okay. I ask you this question then with that. Wonderful topic here. More to prove this year's head coach, Dan Campbell or Ben Johnson?
Who's Ben Johnson again?
Come on.
Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell. No, Ben Johnson gets a one-year free pass.
Yeah. But I'll ask you, raise you that and give you this, Dan Campbell or Mike Tomlin?
Well, it's Dan Campbell because Pittsburgh doesn't change their coach.
That is seemingly maybe not going to happen this
year. Well, I think
are coming up.
Yeah, I think if they change their coach, Tomlin's walking.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Tomlin walks. Because when was the last time they gave him somebody to work with at quarterback? How long has Ben Roethlisberger been retired? And he's made the playoffs with loser one and loser two, you know, like... I hate the Mike Tomlin. Hey, I really do. His organization, man, they don't do a lot to help him out from that standpoint. And he still goes out there and finishes above 500 and still wins. I could see Mike Tomlin saying it's time to move on. And then he becomes a street free agent. Giants hire him.
Well, yeah, you like that part at the end. That part's nice at the end for you.
Yeah. No, but I think he would walk out the door before they would fire him.
Dusty, what about you? Dan Campbell or Mike Tomlin? More pressure.
I think it's Tomlin. I mean, me, of all people, Mike Tomlin could be out of Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh coaches normally just take the high road and leave, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they leave on their terms. They have their – and according to what we've heard and what we've seen throughout the offseason, Tomlin and Rodgers were on the same page the whole time. Hey, man, we're not going to say anything. We're just going to see how you develop in this media story and see what happens. And Aaron Rodgers held his part of the deal. Mike Tomlin held his part of the deal. And now they're together, and this is where we're going to go. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Mike Tomlin to actually get to the playoffs, continue to be a 500 winning coach, and make it work with Aaron. And if he does, then well done. If he doesn't, Pittsburgh will use this as a, you know, we're going to clean the slate of the Tomlin era, bring in a new face and somebody that can lead this franchise. So I'm going to see that. Which Harbaugh has more pressure?
John.
Yeah, I don't think there's any pressure in L.A. Nobody even knows they exist. It's true. I mean, it's L.A. I mean, they're out on the beach. They're doing that. There's no L.A. media and all that kind of nonsense. Like, there's no pressure out there in L.A. There was less in San Diego. But I think Dan Campbell, because if he doesn't win, they'll immediately say he's not a head coach. It was a benefit of his coordinators. So that's why I think there's pressure on Dan Campbell to have a good season so people don't say he was good because of the coordinators. They go out there, they win 11 or 12 games, then Dan Campbell's a legitimate head coach, and you can't say, well, he was only good because he had great coordinators around him. And so that's why I think it's a big year for Dan Campbell. It's a separation type of year. Are you in that, I don't want to say the Andy Reid category,
no, but
you're that head coach that can operate and do great things no matter who your coordinators are, or were you a product of your coordinators?
Yeah, can I set it and forget it and be like, all right, we got our head coach for the next 10
exactly.
years? Or do I have to really still think about it? That's true. This is it.
Yeah, you get double-digit wins this year. Nah,
you're good.
He's your guy.
Yep.
But if he goes 8-9, then you're thinking, okay, he just had good coordinators around him.
The number is 913-586-7965 because we have a question for you.
We do?
Yep. Uh-oh. Whit Merrifield retired yesterday. 9 years in the Major League Baseball. One year away from
God,
that pension.
To see it.
1 year. He kind of went from a hero to heel. We ask you, 913-586-7965, how many KC athletes have done that, gone from hero to heel? I have one that might surprise you. 913-586-7965. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Minutes. Matt Cottrell will join the show here on Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey with you as well.
Have you seen the Kane Brown tweet or Instagram post yesterday, which is great? It's him, Travis, and Taylor at Tight End University, and it says, when you think you're the special guest,
that's great. That's so accurate.
It's really good. Yeah, I love it. The NFL has just put up a tweet with the picture of the three of them. He goes, Kane Brown, when you think you're the special guest, but you're not.
Sorry. Taylor Swift.
There would be some people that would be pissed about something like that, though. You know they would. Like Aaron Rodgers would probably be pissed. Like if he showed up and he was told he was going to be the special guest and then Taylor Swift came on stage and performed, he'd be so mad. Him and Dungy would sit in a corner and talk about plays.
We asked on the text line 913-586-7965, who's an athlete in Kansas City sports history that went from hero to heel? Text line says Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, but my problem is, was he ever really a hero?
Oh, God, yeah. They were chanting his name in the stadium after all of his allegations pre-draft.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a loser as a human being.
He was doing the peace sign, buying 10 jerseys. Yes, he was a hero.
For some, but I think there were also some like me. Sure. I mean, you know.
There were some people that will always have the past that would taint what he was. But, like, yes, dude. I mean, people were peace signing it. Tyreek. Yeah. That's hero status, man.
Yeah,
right. They chant your name, man. It doesn't matter. Like, if five people hate you, if there's 79,000 people chanting your name, you're a hero.
Yeah, but he has gone from hero to heel, you know?
Yeah, mine would be more so, because we talked about Whit Merrifield retiring, and someone's asked Dusty, why are you considering Whit a heel? And for me, it was like, you liked him here because he was, you know, sour about the Ben Zobrist deal, right? And then he had his, you know, moment where he had the hit streak and he was two-hit Whit and he was the all-star, had a really good, you know, three, four-year career here. And then there's, like, the whole COVID deal, which whatever you want to take on that, whatever your take is, how you want to judge somebody, that's on you. But then it was more so, like, how he left, how he said he didn't want to do this, but then he went to Toronto, so then he did it because you could only get into Canada by getting a vaccine.
He said at the time, if I was playing on a better team, maybe I would consider
that was
doing
there.
It. That was
And then, like, throughout his career, there were just, like, these
bitch and moan yep. moments throughout. Like, these guys, it's all about spin rate, so they're hitting batters more often. Or you're on top of the plate and because you're an aggressive hitter. And it just kind of was like one of those things like, oh, God, that guy played for us. And all he did was like, you know, be and moan about everything all the time. And then it was just like, you know, before that, he kind of did that because he wanted to be pulled up into the roster and he had to earn his stripes in Omaha. And then they went and got Zobrist and I should have won a World Series and I came from winning a college World Series and all this sort of stuff. So that's one. But for me, it was always Neil Smith.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because of all teams you could have gone to in 1997, you went to the Broncos.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs had the
ring chasing.
The Chiefs had the best team in 97 that they had had in one of their franchises' best team. They were 13-3, host the Broncos here in Arrowhead and lose.
Yep.
And the Broncos go on to win the Super Bowl. Not only that, Neil wins another with him in 98, wins two Super Bowls with my most hated franchise in sports, the Denver Broncos. So for me personally, if that's how we're doing this, my hero to heel, because, dude, I was sacking the teddy bear doing the George Brett swing.
Why wouldn't you have been, right?
I put Band-Aids over my nose for no apparent reason. I had a Neil Smith jersey. I had met him a couple of times. And then to the Broncos at 10 years old, I was devastated.
Did he go back to hero, though? Like, did he earn his stripes back here? I feel like he did. Obviously, he lives here now, and he's a big part of everything that goes on. I think people have more so come to peace with Neil Smith, you know, kind of coming back. I don't know if everybody feels that way, but I think, you know, he's back in Kansas City. He's been living here for 20 years now. So I would imagine that a lot of people, he went from hero to heel. Maybe, I don't want to say back to hero, but back to somebody that you could tolerate again after he left for the Denver Broncos. Some people would say Tony Gonzalez on that list as well. But I will tell you what, Tony Gonzalez was ahead of the curve. And so I can't put Tony Gonzalez into that category because he read the writing on the wall with this Pioli and with Haley and all of that stuff. He's like, I'm out of this, man.
But he also did stuff after
he did. Yeah, he did.
Atlanta made my career.
Right. Yeah.
That's tough to hear.
It is.
That sucks.
It did. Yep.
That's brutal.
It did.
Because it didn't.
It did. No. Because you did nothing in Atlanta. You know, it is nothing. They never won anything down there. And so, but now obviously he's back in the graces of Kansas City because this is the cool place to be. And you know, with Travis and everything like that going on and whatnot. So he made the right decision at that time. He saw that writing on the wall. He's like, I'm getting the hell out of here. Brian Waters did the same thing the year later. Like, I'm out of this mess. This is an asylum. Here is what this is, and so I'm getting the hell out of here. So you got guys like that have made the list before that, you know, have kind of changed the way you view them because they were ahead of the curve a little bit. But Whit Merrifield, to me, man, like, everybody loved that guy. And then he said, if I was playing for a better team, I would have done things differently. Well, nobody wants to hear that in Kansas City, right? We know you didn't play for some great teams and whatnot, but you can't say those kind of things because no other city would have revered Whit Merrifield after his playing days other than Kansas. He wasn't anywhere long enough. He was here the longest and didn't leave on great terms, and I think that leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
What about Billy Butler?
Eh, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that he ever really became heel per se, you know?
Was he hero?
Yeah, okay. People kind of liked him. You know,
I liked him when I was a kid. I thought he was
39,000 people booed one man because he didn't select Billy Butler to the home run derby.
Yeah.
And I remember when he came back and we snuck him in the back. People were waiting out front to get his autograph things like that. So, no, I think people still like Billy.
The number one answer on the text line comes from the 816, Frank Dumbass White.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe I didn't think of that one. Yeah.
I can't believe that's his middle name.
I know. It's Dumas. It's pronounced. It's French. It's Dumas. Yeah. Frank White is absolutely number one on that list. Yeah.
Can he still be a heel from career wise, not personality wise? Like, somebody's like, oh, Neil Smith's a great guy. It's a terrible take, Dusty. I play golf with him. He went to the Broncos and won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, he may be a great guy, but from a sports standpoint, he went to the biggest rival.
Like, I'm sure Bobby Witt Jr. going to Detroit.
Yeah, I'm like, do Red Sox fans like Johnny Damon because he went to the Yankees afterwards, or Roger Clemens? Uh-huh. I mean, you know, some of those guys, like, you go to your biggest rival, man, from a sports standpoint, they may be a great guy, but man, I can't like you. You ditched me for them.
I don't know if this is a bad one. You guys would know better since y'all were there, but I don't know if he was ever a hero, but Lynn Elliott?
No, he was never a kicker. Hero.
Yeah. Okay. He was just a great kicker, so I didn't know.
Yeah, he was with Dallas and the Chiefs, and then he made me cry.
Yeah.
Had the heel part down.
I don't know. Is there any There's not any Jack Parkmans on the Royals, are there? Like, there's nobody that was.
No.
Juan Gonzalez?
There was. What's a Jose Guillen? Like, a lot of people. But Jose Guillen.
What about Damon?
Jose Guillen is miscast. I mean, that guy, and I don't know if I'm supposed to share this story, but I'm going to anyway. There was an usher at Kauffman Stadium who needed a van. She had a handicapped son and needed a van that could, you know, get a wheelchair, and he purchased the van for her. And wow. So, like, people talk about Jose Guillen being like this guy they didn't like. Some of this stuff that he was doing behind the scenes, like that kind of stuff, changed my opinion of him.
Yeah, because he was so good in Anaheim or whatever they were called then. Somebody says Bo Jackson, anytime he put on a Raiders uniform. That's it. That's what's interesting about growing up in that time period. Because, like, imagine if you had a guy that was a Royals player, but then he went and played for the Broncos.
Yeah, what do you do?
That's weird.
Right? Like, what if Caglione was a quarterback, but he was the Broncos quarterback, and he was your Royals right fielder?
And then you're like, do I wish for him to get sacked and break his leg in football, but then he can't play baseball, you know? Like, yeah, it would have been crazy.
Somebody says on the text line yesterday with the announcement of Whit Merrifield retiring, some people were talking about Whit being in the Royals Hall of Fame. No. I say no. What say you? No, there's no chance.
No.
There's guys that are going way
Jesus,
before.
Jesus, Whit.
Is Wade Davis in the Royals Hall of Fame yet? That guy ought to go in before anybody else.
And he may not get in.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not
dang, really?
I don't know. I mean, like, two. So I mean, literally.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
3 years.
I know.
Now, yeah, three had dominant years.
Check, please.
At a World Series, correct.
Yeah.
But, yeah, tough.
Yeah. Whit Merrifield and the Royals Hall of Fame. We're not that desperate.
No, that's just what they said. They saw people on
that. I mean, I know Frank White's in it, but I mean.
Gosh, I've really pissed off this guy. Dude, Neil Smith was released by the Chiefs. It's not like he chose the Broncos over the Chiefs. Still went to the Broncos, dude. Won 2 Super Bowls. It is what it is. Get over it. Coming up on the other side, Matt Contrero, Royals manager, joins us next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.